Well, a few years ago, my family took a very special vacation to the Outer Banks. We planned it for months because we have very few opportunities to kind of all get together as a family. And if you've ever driven to the Outer Banks, you probably know that the trip there isn't always easy. I-95, ooh, it can be stressful, especially in the metro areas. We knew that that would be the case, and so we were ready for crazy drivers and traffic. We were grateful when we made it through DC, and then we made it through Fredericksburg and Richmond and Norfolk, Virginia Beach, and then finally we got off of the expressway and headed south on North Carolina 168. Until in rural North Carolina, we came to a dead stop. What we didn't know was that there was a car fire on the bridge that was leading into the Outer Banks, and that traffic had backed up for miles and miles and miles. The trip, which should have taken us about 9 hours, ended up taking us almost 13. Do you know what that feels like? It doesn't feel good. It's not as bad as getting stuck in an airport. That happened to me in Rapid City, South Dakota, one January when a snowstorm shut down the city. But that's a story for another time because you probably get the point. It's difficult to be stuck when you're traveling. It's hard to cultivate contentment when you've left home excited for what lies ahead, but you just can't get where you're going. It's hard to be content when you feel stuck in the middle, really wanting to enjoy what lies ahead, but recognizing that we're not there yet and it's going to be a while before we get there. I've been thinking about that because, as you know, if you've been worshiping with us in 2024, we started this year by focusing on what it means to cultivate contentment. And I think that one of the reasons that we struggle with contentment in our lives is that we lose perspective. We forget. We're stuck in the middle. We're not there yet. We expect life to be better than it's going to be. As Admiral Jim Stockdale said, we need the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of our current reality, whatever they may be. The abundant life that Jesus promised hasn't been fully realized. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," because God's kingdom hasn't fully come, and so God's will isn't being done everywhere all the time. And so we pray for people to be healed, and they continue to struggle with terrible diseases. We make resolutions to adopt a healthy, life-giving habit, and we fail before we even get to February. Today is January 21st, which means that we're 21 days into the new year, and you may have heard that it takes 21 days to establish a habit. Have you found that to be true? I haven't. It takes me so much longer than that. It took me years to develop the habit of flossing my teeth. And I'm still working on the habit of regular exercise. We can get discouraged when we lack the discipline to develop healthy habits, let alone be like Admiral Stockdale and find the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of our current reality. But Paul did. Stuck in a Roman prison, in chains for Christ, writing to the Philippian Christians, he writes, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." Is he for real? Is he in denial? Does Paul expect Christians to put on a happy face no matter what we are experiencing? Is it possible to always be full of joy when we live in this in-between time, when we're stuck in the middle between when Christ came as a baby and when Christ is coming again in power and might? How do we cultivate contentment when our circumstances are frustrating, overwhelming, and maybe even depressing? Well, Philippians teaches us that we need a godly perspective. We need to let go of the past and trust in God's future so that we can experience contentment in the present. Before we talk about how to do that, I want to look at the depth of Paul's contentment, the difference that this way of living makes, because Paul's contentment isn't challenged by his living situation. I can quickly become discontent with my living situation. If my house is a mess, I get discontent. If it's a little chilly in the room, I can be discontent. Paul, though, was in chains in a Roman prison, and not only was he not complaining, he was able to see the positive in his very difficult living situation. If you have your Bible with you, I want to invite you to turn back to chapter 1, in which he writes about what is happening to him. In verse 12, he writes, "What has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." And then he continues in verse 14, "And because of my chains, most of my brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." Paul focuses on the ways in which his difficulties are resulting in good being done. Paul's also, his contentment, it isn't disrupted by other people. In verse 18 of chapter 1, he writes that there are people who are stirring up trouble for him while he is in chains, people who are using the gospel for selfish ambition. And remarkably, Paul asks in verse 18, "What does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or from true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice." Paul's contentment isn't even disrupted when his life is threatened. Look at verse 21. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That is some kind of unshakable contentment. In the next verse, he even says, "I don't know how I would choose between life and death." Between life and death, "What shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two." Unshakable contentment that is not disrupted by his circumstances. It's not disrupted by other people. It's not even disrupted when his life is on the line. How does he reach that point? When he gets to that point, then he isn't even proud of himself. He says, "I haven't arrived. I'm still pressing on." Paul is displaying this virtue of humility that Pastor Matt talked about last week. He has an accurate perspective on his past, and he is therefore able to let go of his past. It's really hard to have an accurate perspective on our past. Most of us tend to either emphasize the positives of our past or concentrate too much on the negatives of our past. We're either tempted to see ourselves as successful, hardworking people who deserve the status and privileges that come our way, or we see ourselves as failures who have skeletons in our closet, people who will never quite measure up. It's easy to see how those who have this negative perspective of themselves would struggle with contentment, but ironically, the people who have a glowingly positive image of themselves also struggle with contentment, because when we see ourselves so positively like that, we have quite an image to maintain. It puts a lot of pressure on us to continue to measure up. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 8, Paul describes his way of life in the past that is neither positive nor negative. It's just honest. He doesn't shy away from the significant accomplishments. He describes himself as a Hebrew of Hebrews. He's impressive, and he's a person who persecuted the church. He comes right out and says that in verse 6. Paul's past is part of him. He owns it. He was zealous as a persecutor for the church, and he is zealous as an apostle of the church. But his past doesn't define him. He can let go of his past because what defines him is his relationship with Christ. How do we become like that? So defined by our relationship with Christ that we can let go of both our successes and our failures. I think that's a lifelong process that every Christian works on until we take our final breath. But if you would like one simple action step that you could take to try to live into this, I would suggest the practice of praying this one sentence prayer. I am a child of God. And if you're someone who tends to focus more on the negative part of your past, someone who sees yourself as a person with a lot of failures, emphasize the word God when you pray that prayer. I am a child of God. I am loved by the creator of the universe, just as I am despite all of my failures. A perfect God chose to create me, wants to be in relationship with me, pays attention to me, and wants what is best for me. And if you're someone who tends to focus more on the positive side of your past, someone who sees yourself as a person with a lot of successes, emphasize the word child. I am a child of God. I don't have all the answers. I have so much to learn. I need to be cared for because I am weak and I am not in control. I need God. Paul desperately wanted to be deeply connected to Christ. Can't you hear his passion? In verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ. I want to experience his power and participate in his sufferings. Paul's longing to be close to Christ, his expectation of being with Christ in the future is so intense that it overshadows the hardships and the challenges of his current situation. Do you know what it's like to be so focused on what is to come that your struggles in the present are transformed because of the hope that you are holding on to? My mind goes to giving birth, which I don't need to tell you can be a struggle. Like many moms, for me, the first baby was the hard one. And just when they were going to give me an epidural to give some relief from all of the contractions, Eric started to make his way into the world, and so there would be no epidural. I was exhausted. I had been in labor all night. The contractions were intense, and I felt like a whale laying on a hard table. And the nurse who was caring for me says to me, roll over. I didn't have the energy to laugh. All I could do was just reply to her, I can't. And then she said to me, you need to roll over for your baby. Well, that changed everything. Because it changed my perspective. It took my mind off the pains of the present and put it on the baby of the future, the goal of all of this. And you know what I did, right? I rolled over. I did what I didn't think I could do. I was strengthened to strain toward what was ahead because I was reminded of the goal. The prize at the end of all of those long, hard hours of labor. If you Google cultivating contentment, which I did, you will find a lot of good advice about how to become a more content person. Express gratitude, focus on the present moment instead of dwelling on the past or worrying about the future, invest in relationships that matter to you, and that's all good advice. And that isn't the advice that Paul gives to the Philippians. Paul says the way to cultivate contentment is to know Christ and to trust him with your future. Not to know about him, but to know him in an intimate way. To know him from personal experience. To walk with him so closely that your life is connected with his. And then to trust that his victory on the cross conquered sin and death, conquered all those irritating, disappointing, heartbreaking things that threaten and rob you of contentment in this life. and that there is a day coming when those things will be no more, and your contentment will be complete. That day hasn't come yet, but it will. And that's why we trust God with the future. Last week, Pastor Matt quoted Jim Collins's book, Good to Great, and I want to do the same. At the very end of the book, Collins talks about meeting Admiral Jim Stockdale. Admiral Stockdale was a prisoner of war in Vietnam, and for 8 years he was tortured and lived with no prisoner's rights, no set release date, and no certainty as to whether or not he would ever survive to see his family again. Jim Collins had the opportunity to talk with him and ask him, "How did you do that? How did you endure such brutal circumstances when you didn't even know the end of the story?" And Stockdale responded, "I never lost faith in the end of the story. I never doubted that not only would I get out, but also that I would prevail, and that in the end, this experience would be turned into the defining event of my life, which in retrospect, I would not trade." Collins was silent for many minutes after Stockdale said this, taking in the significance of what he had just heard as he slowly walked with a man who was limping because he had never fully recovered from the repeated torture he had endured. And finally, Collins asked, "Who didn't make it out?" "Oh, that's easy," Stockdale replied. "The optimists. The optimists. They were the ones who said, 'We're going to be out by Christmas.' And Christmas would come and Christmas would go. And then they'd say, 'We're going to be out by Easter.' And Easter would come and Easter would go. And then Thanksgiving. And then it was Christmas again. And they died of a broken heart." There was another long pause in their conversation. And then Stockdale said this: "This is a very important lesson. You must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they may be." I don't know if any of us, will ever experience anything like what Admiral James Stockdale experienced. But all of us need to confront the brutal facts of our current reality and never lose faith in the end of the story. Because your victory has been assured in Christ, no matter what challenging or unpleasant your circumstances may be, or how hopeless they seem. You may feel stuck in the grind, just waiting to get to graduation or vacation or retirement. You may feel overwhelmed by health problems or financial problems or relationship problems. I don't know how your circumstances are going to work out, but I do know that God is at work and God is going to work all things out for all of us. I think Paul would have liked Admiral Stockdale, because they both never lost faith in the end of the story. And that faith allowed them to endure extreme circumstances that would have crushed others. They both had perspective. And today I want to invite you, encourage you, to live out your identity as a child of God. Let go of the past. Being dependent on your successes or dwelling on your failures is just going to rob you of contentment. And keep believing in the end of the story. Like Paul, forget what is behind. Strain toward what is ahead. Press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called you heavenward in Christ Jesus. Will you pray with me, please? God, we want to offer you our past. Some of us have a past that is full of failure, God, we blush or feel shame when we think about some of the things that we have done, that we wish we could undo. God, help us to offer up our past to you, to trust that you really do forgive our sin, all of it, and that it is as far from the east as is from the west. God, help us to not dwell on our past, to live into our identity as a child of God, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, our good and gracious God. God, we offer to you our past. Some of us have a past that looks really good. God, we have had a lot of success in life. Other people look at us and they envy us. And God, what they don't know is the pressure that it puts to keep doing it, to keep succeeding, to keep taking another step. God, help us to offer our past to you, to not trust in our own accomplishments, but to trust in your accomplishment, that we are made righteous by your action, not by ours. God, help us to remember that we can be children, dependents, that we don't have to make our own way. God, that we need to follow in your way. God, we offer up to you our present. God, some of us have some difficult circumstances that we are right in the middle of, and we're yearning to move on, but we just feel stuck. God, help us to not become discouraged, to trust that you are at work, that you are working things out. Help us to walk with you through these difficult circumstances just to keep going, God. Give us perseverance. And God, finally, we give you thanks for the future. God, we give you thanks that you love us enough to come and to make things right with this world, that you gave us Jesus, and that Jesus died on the cross, and that Jesus conquered sin and death, and that this world is being transformed, and there will come a day in which all things will be made right. God, help us keep our eyes on the prize. Help us to see more clearly your future, where there is no more mourning or crying or pain, but that we get to simply dwell in your presence. God, we just give you thanks that you call us, that you walk with us, and God, that you are in control of this life. It's in Jesus' name we pray together. Amen.